This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Netflix could break into the Chinese video market. From APM in Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. Netflix is in talks with a Chinese media company about a potential partnership in China. That's according to Bloomberg, which reports this morning that the company behind hits like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black plans to be nearly global by next year. Lulu Chen reported the story for Bloomberg. Thanks for joining us, Lulu.
Pleasure to be here.
So can you tell us what Netflix is looking at with this possible move? I imagine it's a huge potential market.
You're absolutely right. If you look at the market size in China right now, more than 640 million internet users, and the market size of online video is expected to triple to more than $15 billion by 2018. This is one of the hottest sectors for companies in China, ranging from Alibaba to Tencent to Baidu. And the reason is because the timing that we're in right now, where users are moving to the internet to consume entertainment content, and with that, you have more potential to generate revenue, just a range of potential for these companies to actually make money from online video for the first time.
But isn't there a pretty big concern about censorship with a move like this?
Exactly. And that's why we've been told that Netflix is considering a partnership with one of the Chinese companies. Now, for them to actually be able to operate in China, they need an IPTV license. And only 7 companies in China, all state-owned, have this license. They would be able to have more guidance and also leeway to actually understand how to deal with China's regulations.
All right, Lulu Chen with Bloomberg, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Consumer sentiment fell more than expected, according to the University of Michigan's monthly survey. The report gives us a glimpse into how people are feeling about their spending. But that information isn't free, at least not all of it. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour tells us about the market for numbers.
In an economy driven by how consumers feel, information on how consumers feel is obviously important.
It's not an exaggeration to say, as goes the consumer, so goes the economy.
Scott Clemens is chief investment strategist at Brown Brothers Harriman, private banking. The basics, do we feel better or worse about the economy, are actually free. It's the nitty-gritty that costs you.
What folks are subscribing to, then, is the more detailed information.
Lynn Franco is with the Conference Board, one of the two major sources of consumer confidence data. Their survey starts at $629 a month for anyone who wants to zero in on this or that age group or slice of consumer feelings.
Economists to government agencies to retailers.
Kristen Reynolds is senior principal economist with consulting firm IHS.
We try to look at a trend and look for changes in the direction of the economy.
That information is gold for forecasting risk and trends. All that from our feelings. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
It has been, to put it mildly, a tough few years on the East Coast storm-wise. You might remember hurricanes Ida, Earl, Irene, and 3 years ago, Superstorm Sandy. That was one that got a lot more businesses thinking about how to protect themselves. And since then, many have invested in one particular flood protection product. From WGBH in Boston, Rupa Shenoy has the story.
People like to say Superstorm Sandy was a wake-up call. As it approached New York City in October 2012, businesses had to rely on an age-old technique.
Sandbags. I'm pretty sure those were around when the Romans were building buildings.
That's Brian Koop. He's a VP with Boston Properties, one of the largest developers of office buildings around the country. Post-Sandy, East Coast businesses like his have been looking for better options. Koop's colleague, Ben Myers, says there didn't seem to be much out there.
We did also look at one inflatable solution that wasn't as easily deployed and also was inflatable, so it could puncture and not work.
But then he discovered the Aquafence. It's a wall that's easy to quickly assemble and quickly take apart, sort of like IKEA furniture. Koop loves it. We're standing in Boston's financial district with the harbor to our left. He says in a flood, there'd be
800 linear feet of fence going up in a matter of a couple hours. That's pretty amazing to me.
When it's assembled, an Aquafence temporarily anchors into the ground. It would turn this building into something like a walled city. Adam Goldberg is director of the New Jersey-based Aquafence company.
We had sales increases of about 200% year over year for the last 3 years in the U.S. Last year alone, we had over 40 projects.
But those projects aren't cheap at several hundred thousand dollars per fence. Still, since Sandy, 40 New York companies decided it's worth the price. Goldberg says it helps that businesses have seen the fences work.
There's a grain facility in Hungary that has used the panels 4 times in 4 years.
In the U.S., downtown Fargo got to try it out a couple times during floods in 2010 and the following year. So when the next Sandy hits, look for the Aquafences among the sandbags. For Marketplace, I'm Rupa Shenoy.
We've been following the story of what appears to be a phony takeover bid for Avon. Yesterday's shares in the cosmetics company jumped as much as 20%. This after a company calling itself PTG Capital Partners submitted what looked like an offer to buy Avon for almost 3 times its market value. Avon then said it had not received any offer and couldn't even confirm that PTG exists. We'll have more on the story throughout the morning and at marketplace.org. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.